Birdstone. Good evening, counselors. Can everybody hear me okay? Thank you for the head nods and the thumbs ups. Welcome to our agenda session. Good to see you, Counselor Hobbs. The first resolution under my committee is a resolution tabled, which is 238, resolution establishing City of Duluth election precincts. There are any questions? I don't see any hands raised. We talked about this at our last one, too. So we will move on then under the consent agenda, which starts with our finance committee with Vice President Kennedy.
Good evening, counselors. Thank you, President Forsman. I'm on item number 8, resolution 217, a resolution authorizing a contract with Hanover Insurance Company for property insurance at the cost not to exceed $316,196.70. to be paid to Marsh and McClellan Agency, LLC, agent for Hanover Insurance Company. Item number 9, resolution 280, resolution authorizing an agreement with the Duluth Airport Authority to insure certain Duluth Airport Authority property and equipment under the city's property and boiler insurance policies. Item number 10, resolution 282, resolution authorizing an agreement with the Duluth Economic Development Authority to insure the MRO building under the city's property and boiler insurance policies.
Thank you, Vice President Kennedy. Seeing no counselors with their hand. Oh, sorry, Counselor Anderson.
Thank you, President Forsman. On 282, I'm just curious about the timing of this and. Would this be standard procedure since the MRL building is going to be leased to Cirrus?
Thank you, President Forsman, Councillor Anderson. I would look to either Director Fleege or Attorney St. George to speak to the insurance portion of this.
Thank you.
Councilors, can you hear me?
Yes.
President Forsman, Councilor Anderson, yes. The city will, because it's a lease arrangement, the city will hold the insurance, until the building is sold. Cirrus has the option to sell, but they will be covering all the expenses, the monthly expenses associated with this, and this provides the insurance coverage while they're in the building. So, yes.
Great. Thank you, Director Fleege.
Thank you, Councillor Anderson. Moving on to purchasing and licensing underneath Councillor Hobbs.
Thank you, President Forsman. Resolution 260, amending Resolution 21981 to allow a transition from Holiday Superstation stores to Circle K and WEX for service station fuels for 2022 due to sale and rebranding of the Holiday Station stores. Resolution 271, authorizing an agreement with Employee Strategies Incorporated to create a leadership development program for an amount not to exceed $109,000.
Thank you, Councillor Hobbs. And seeing nobody with their hand up, we will say good up. Vice President Kennedy.
Thank you, President Forsman. I have a question on the Leadership Development Program. Is that connected to the AMAZE program that I was reading about? And I know I'll be making comment to it at the end of the agenda session here with regards to some of the with the African Heritage Commission.
President Forsman, Vice President Kennedy. No, this is for development of a supervisory training and leadership development program for city staff. That is something that we do not have now. It is something that is lacking, frankly, in the city organization and something that our staff and our supervisors have an interest in. And so this would be a one-time cost to develop that program and curriculum, provide training to all 80 some odd city supervisors, and then from there, the city would have ownership of that curriculum and be able to deliver it on an annual basis to new supervisors. It's something that we have had an interest in for a long time, and this is a great opportunity to get it done and have it in place for the future, which will benefit city operations and city staff moving forward.
Thank you, Vice President Kennedy. And seeing no other counselors with their hand up, we will welcome Counselor Van Nett tonight.
Good evening, counselors. Thank you, President Forsman. I have item 13, resolution 247. It's a resolution confirming the reappointment of Allison Hoxie to the Energy Plan Commission. Item 14, resolution 248, resolution confirming the reappointment of John Lindgren to the Natural Resources Commission. Item 15, it's a resolution 281, resolution confirming the appointment of William Arezzo to the Library Board. And real quick, Council President Forsman, I just want to say that there's 16 boards and commissions that need people, and I'll be talking more about that on Monday, and I think we could develop better framework around what our boards and commissions do and tighten that process up a little. And just wanted to just let folks know, I'll chat more about it on Monday. I want the public to hear that there's commissions and spaces available for them to have their voice added and really make the community feel heard and felt. So just sharing that much for this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Van Nett. And I look forward to that on Monday night. The next resolution is under my committee, Committee of the Whole, Resolution 285, requesting that the administration reduce the 2022 fee for the Memorial Day Parade to $187.10. I want to thank Vice President Kennedy for working on this with me. I also want to thank staff who helped reach a resolution to keep the Memorial Day Parade in Duluth. The amount is symbolic. The first Memorial Day parade in the city, as far as we can tell, was held in 1871, which is where the amount comes from. And happy to take questions on this. If counselors have any, I'll certainly have comments on Monday night as well. And I see Vice President Kennedy, your hand is up.
Thank you, President Forsman. Thank you, city staff, and thank you to the community members we worked with. I'll thank them as well on Monday night. My question is for staff. We had discussed that there's an inflationary percentage that would possibly impact prices every year. Could you explain that to me? And then I have another comment after that. Or question. Sorry. I'll yield.
Thank you, President Forsman, Vice President Kennedy. I will ask Clerk Johnson to weigh in on how the license fee schedule is brought forward and how we do that calculation, if he's able.
President Forsman, Vice President Kennedy, the fee schedule is updated annually at the end of every year before it goes into effect for the next year. And one of the factors that is considered by staff in redetermining fees is the impact of inflation. And so it's something we regularly factor into the fees on an annual basis.
If I may follow up, how do you determine the percentage?
Sure. We receive assistance from the city's finance department, which I honestly can't tell you what goes into how they determine the inflation point index, but we're given a number annually by which they determine things have been adjusted, and we apply that number. It's a formula, and I'm sorry, Counselor, I'm not really a math person, so I can't explain the numbers behind it, but I take their word for it. It seems reasonable.
If I may, President Forsman, is anyone from finance on, or could they... maybe I can reach out to them, or they could send us more information on maybe a forecast of what that percentage might look like and how it would impact the increase to maybe somebody like the Memorial Day Parade, MLK March, or even other organizations that have to pay a non-reduced fee. It would be nice to be able to understand that. I'll yield for a pause, and then I have another question.
President Forsman, Vice President Kennedy, I'd be happy to make sure that Director Carlson is not on the call this evening, but I'd be happy to make sure that we provide the council with that information.
Thank you, Mr. Schuckman. My last question is, we had discussed that there may be another organization that could possibly benefit from this with the same specifics as far as being free for people to attend, free for people to participate. And it's a federal holiday, and that is the MLK March. And are we able to allow them, or if they were to come to us, be able to answer questions for them and what that would look like? I'll yield.
President Forsman, Vice President Kennedy, Clerk Johnson, did you want to handle that one as well?
Sure. President Forsman, Vice President Kennedy, the city is looking at revisions to Chapter 45, which is the city code chapter that deals with special event permitting, generally speaking. And some of our proposed, some of the tentative revisions we were looking at would create a new system for looking at special event permits that would adopt a more deliberative, holistic approach that would take into account many factors related to special event permitting, but would also be able to look at reducing costs, capping costs, reaching long-term agreements with organizations, among other things. But it's a long-term solution to not just the special events or the MLK March, but for all special events in the city in a fairly clear and, I think, objectively reasonable manner.
If I may re-ask that question, if the MLK people came to us, what would we be able to tell them? And I'm asking that, I want to ask that because I have an idea and I don't know that that's something I could give here, but maybe I just will. In our conversations, it felt like that would be the other event that would qualify. And I'm hoping that we're going to move that recommendation forward. Is that the understanding that the city has and the city clerk has? And President Forsman, maybe you would like to weigh in as well.
Yeah, Vice President Kennedy, thank you for bringing that up. That is accurate. That was a part of our conversation as we talked about how to reach a solution here is for similarly situated events to be open to that. And the MLK Day March was the one that I think we both identified. So this resolution is more targeted just based on the recent conversations we've had with the Memorial Day Parade. But just wanted I appreciate you bringing that up so that counselors can know that that was also part of the discussion. Mr. Schuckman, I see your hands up, and then assuming that's a reaction to the last couple of comments, then we'll go to Councilor Anderson.
President Forsman, Vice President Kennedy, just briefly to confirm that is part of the mechanics that we are working through ahead of establishing the license fee schedule later this year. But certainly that is consistent. Both of your understandings consistent with the direction that we are heading, and we certainly will happily provide additional information as we nail that down.
Thank you, Mr. Schuckman. Councilor Anderson.
Thank you, President Forsman. So the other, if I'm hearing correctly, so the participants are able to be in the parade for no cost, and there's no cost for people to attend the parade. So this makes that different from the Christmas City of the North Parade, or is that running the same way?
Thank you, Councillor Anderson. I can take a first stab at that. I think the other piece of that, at least it's not within the framework of this resolution, but within the intent, is that this event is tied to a federally recognized holiday as well.
Okay. All right. So that would be a significant shift there. And I guess I still would say that we still may expect to hear some input from other organizations. I'm curious, do we have a general idea? What do the organizers of the Christmas City of the North Parade, what do they end up paying the city for costs related to police coverage and closing down streets, et cetera, or do we again make in-kind donations for that?
President Fordham, if I may.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Councilor Anderson. All of our special events throughout the city pay an event cost and an application fee. That event cost is something that we have been working to calibrate throughout the city and throughout all of our events to better recognize the true cost that the city incurs in having these events. We are working individually with event permit applicants to make sure that we're doing that in a thoughtful way. But you're exactly right. The cost for police staffing, the cost for barricades or traffic calming measures, the cost for street closures, it ends up being quite extensive over the course of a year. And so we are working to better make sure that those costs that are charged to organizers better reflect the true cost that the city pays, while also making sure that we're not doing so in a way that is too much of a record scratch moment for permit applicants. We want to make sure that we're providing a runway for people and that we're being thoughtful about the manner in which we do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate it. And it sounds like clearly there's some staff time going into this, but it seems that it's time that would be well spent so that we make sure that we end up with an equitable system that's appropriate to this situation, but to all similar situations. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Anderson. I'll just add for context, too, that we did receive one email regarding a state statute that was brought up about this, and just will share that we've worked with Attorney St. George and other folks to ensure that what we're bringing forward is consistent with our interpretation of that. And also just a brief comment that I'm usually a fan of very clear and consistent policies. And there's also, as we learned through the Lethbridge example, there is a time and a place where things are appropriate to get a little messier for the right reasons. Mr. Shuckman, your hand is still up. Did you have something?
Just very briefly. Thank you, President Forsman. I just wanted to note, I've spoken a bit, so I won't go for very long, but I wanted to just take a moment to thank both President Forsman and Vice President Kennedy for their leadership and pulling together a meeting with the veterans community and city staff to make sure that we were able to resolve this in a way that felt, I think, good to everyone. And so I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank you both for that and look forward to the parade in May.
Thank you, Mr. Shuckman. All right, I think we can move on now and say good evening, Councilor Randorf.
Thank you, Council President Forsman. I've got item number 17, Resolution 250, a resolution authorizing agreement with HRA for payment in lieu of taxes. Item 18 is Resolution 261, authorizing the city to enter into a joint powers agreement with the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency related to the low-income housing tax credit program for the year of 2023. Item 19, Resolution 264, is a resolution vacating unimproved platted right-of-way in conjunction with the replatting of the land in the Central Overlook Plat at 800 East Central Entrance.
Thank you, Councilor Randorf. Seeing no hands up, we will move on to Public Works under Councilor Mayle.
Thank you, President Forsman. Item 20, Resolution 240, is a resolution authorizing application for a host site with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency Green Core program for the 2022-2023 service year. Resolution 249 is authorizing the purchase of 7 traffic signal poles from PEC Solutions DBA Parsons Electric in the amount of $162,286. And Resolution 259 is a resolution authorizing application for and, upon approval, acceptance of a grant from the United States Department of Transportation's Rebuilding American Infrastructure with Sustainability and Equity RAISE program for the reconstruction of West Superior Street in the Lincoln Park neighborhood between West Michigan and Carlton Streets.
Thank you, Councilor Mayo. Councilor Anderson.
Thank you, President Forsman. I could honestly have questions about all three of these, but I'm like, the one that makes me go, wow, is Resolution 259. Looking at that map, applying for a grant to get reconstruction money for Superior Street all the way from Michigan Street to Carlton. That's a couple of miles of city street. How big is this grant? How likely are we to receive it? How prepared are we to implement it if we receive it?
President Forsman, Councillor Anderson, this is actually an exact copy of a resolution that the council passed last year, making the same application to the same grant program. It was not successful at that time. It would be a $25 million grant application. And I, in general, with something of this size, I would say that I would encourage you to manage your expectations about receiving something like that. Should we receive that grant, we certainly would need to do a fair amount of work to make sure we were able to project manage a project of this scope. But that if we had the opportunity to receive $25 million in grant form, we certainly would aggressively do that and look forward to the opportunity to implement it. And I certainly am hopeful that this money will come through. And we are working with our federal lobbyists on projects like this. You've seen money come through in the news for the lift bridge and for police technology, and that is a direct result of that federal lobbying work that the council authorized in January. And so they'll be working on this. We will be working on this. And with all that said, I continue to encourage you to manage your expectations on receiving the money, and we will hope that that does happen.
Great. Thank you. I do have a question on Resolution 249, but I don't know what if Councillor Mayo has a question on this same resolution.
You can go ahead, Councillor Anderson. That's okay.
All right. Thank you. So on 249, I read just a little bit of the details there that we're ordering these traffic signal poles now just to get them so that we make sure that we have them in stock and ready to go when this project comes online later this year. Is this, are we going to be reimbursed for this, or does this come out of the city street fund or utilities work? Where does this money actually come from?
President Forsman, Councillor Anderson, it is payable from the city's permanent improvement capital projects accounts and improvements that are other than buildings. And so I believe it would come from that street lighting fund. I can confirm if you'd like with staff that that's accurate. But this is part of our prep for that reconstruction work along 21st.
Okay. And just in general, it seems that we, on average, we do about $500,000 a year for street street signals or traffic control signals, that they're really, really expensive for each intersection. And this one obviously is a priority because we're doing 21st Avenue East this year. So, all right, just curious about that. Thank you. I will yield.
Thank you, Councillor Anderson. Councillor Tomanek.
Thank you, President Forsman. I have a question for Mr. Shuckman, and that is, if we receive this grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation, how will we dovetail that money with the money that we're using to improve Lincoln Park? I would just want to make sure that we don't do one project and then have to upend that to do another project.
President Forsman, Councillor Tomanek, that is a great question and great point. I'm always careful about the things that I am not an expert at, and engineering is one of those things. And so I would be happy to connect you with staff who can talk through how they would sequence something like that. But certainly the engineering staff are not interested. Once we redo a road or do some sort of streetscape, we really look for every opportunity to not reopen that for as long as possible. And so certainly that's something we would take into consideration. If you'd like more information or like to connect with staff, I'm happy to make sure that that happens.
That would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tomanek. Councillor Mayo.
Thank you, President Forsman. So with Resolution 259, being that it's $25 million, obviously it's more than just a mill and overlay, but I was curious about the general scope of the project. Is it going to be, is the general intent to increase different modes of transit in that area and improve the sidewalks as well as the road and kind of do a complete redesign, I'm assuming?
President Forsman, Councillor Mayo, the work, if it was awarded, the city would prepare the construction engineering, reconstruct West Superior Street, including all underground utilities, water, sewer, storm, fiber, street lighting, and then the above ground streetscape, new sidewalks, new pedestrian ramps, bicycle and micro mobility accommodations, transit stops, street lighting, plantings, and other amenities. So it would be a full scope reconstruction were that to happen, and certainly the things that you are mentioning would be considered.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mayo. Like, we are done with that one, and we can move along to Councillor Anderson, Public Safety.
All right. Thank you, President Forsman. Resolution 239, authorizing an agreement with Community Action Duluth for professional services in support of the Love Your Block program in an amount not to exceed $60,000. Resolution 253, authorizing acceptance of a grant from the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, Homeland Security, and Emergency Management Division in the amount of $20,000 for the purpose of maintaining a local emergency management program. And if I may, President Forsman.
Please go ahead.
On 239, this looks like a two-year-long grant cycle with Community Action, $30,000 each year. I'm curious, will they, are they going to, like, utilize, if I understand, it's hiring one person to sort of manage this program. And then how is the money spent? How is the program going to really benefit the whole community?
President Forsman, Councillor Anderson, Chief Kerjay, who would be responsible for this grant, is on the call this evening. So if he could be unmuted, he will be able to speak to that.
Thank you.
Okay, I think I'm unmuted. President Forsman and Councillor Anderson, this is actually a grant that was put in for our life safety, by our life safety division. It includes the position that you see here today, and then it also includes a matching amount for community micro grants that'll be administered by this person. The reason we have to run it through this nonprofit is it doesn't fit under some of the other city job requirements. So it's not an internship. It's not a provisional or a seasonal employment position. And that salary was actually designated by the grant. So we are partnering with a nonprofit to actually pay the person their wage. And then they also partner to provide health benefits. So they will manage that program, that micro grant program that'll go throughout the city. I don't have the specifics on exactly what those micro grants are for, but I could follow up with Deputy Chief Otis and try to provide more information to the council if you'd like that before Monday.
Thank you, Chief Kerjay. I don't want to put too much pressure on here, but it sounds like a very interesting program and one that would be a benefit to all of us. So good on Deputy Chief Otis for, I would assume, getting this grant for us. Thank you.
Absolutely. I will follow up and send that information, whatever information I can get on those specifics of the grant, to the council.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Anderson. Vice President Kennedy.
Thank you, President Forsman. I guess I have a question regarding how does this intersect with a community response that we've already initiated that is working throughout the city? I'll yield.
President Forsman, Vice President Kennedy, this is a totally separate grant and a totally separate program. I am also working with that community crisis response. That budget that the council approved is going through HDC. That, as you obviously know, is for mental health crisis. This is a different program, I think, concentrating more on blight and just some other community needs that aren't necessarily mental health community response.
If I may, would it look more like the Clean and Safe team downtown and model? but for Lincoln Park.
President Forsman, Councilor Kennedy, I actually don't know the answer to that right now, but I will follow up with Deputy Chief Otis and get that information to you.
Thank you, Vice President Kennedy. That was actually the question that was in my mind too. So that would be great if you could send that out, Chief, to the council when you get that. And thank you as well to Deputy Chief Otis for his work there. Alrighty, we are now to Councilor Timonic under Recreation, Libraries, and Authorities.
Thank you, President Forsman. Resolution 228, authorizing a three-year agreement with the NAACP Duluth Branch for the lease of space in the Washington Recreation Center. Resolution 252, approving the Duluth Natural Resources Management Program Plan and authorizing implementation as funds permit. Resolution 254, authorizing an application to the Great Lakes Commission Great Lakes Sediment and Nutrient Reduction Program for $200,000 to reduce runoff and stabilize stream banks at Lincoln Park, Chester Park, and Hartley Park. Resolution 257, accepting unconditional gifts from the Duluth Library Foundation for the benefit of the library for 2022. Resolution accepting unconditional gifts from the Friends of the Duluth Public Library for the benefit of the library in 2022. Resolution authorizing three-year agreement with Arrowhead Youth Soccer Association for the use and operation of the city's Jean Duluth, Arlington, and Gary New Duluth soccer fields. Resolution 267, a resolution authorizing acceptance of a grant from the Economic Development Administration for $4,938,067 for enhanced reconstruction of the deck seawall. Resolution 268, authorizing an agreement with Urban Ecosystems Landscape Architects for professional services for the Lakewalk Interpretive Plan for a total contract amount not to exceed $82,536. Resolution 279, authorizing application to the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources for an outdoor recreation program grant of up to $300,000 for construction of a state park at the Gary New Duluth Recreation Center.
Thank you, Councilor Timonic. Councilor Anderson.
Thank you, President Forsman. On Resolution 279, about the $300,000 for the skate park, we had the same resolution, Resolution 227 at our meeting on the 14th. So I'm just curious about what that's about.
President Forsman, Councilor Anderson, that is correct. Very good eye. This is an update to that application. There's a technical change that needed to be made, and so this is bringing that through to make sure that it had current and updated information. Director Philby Williams is on if you have additional questions about what the specifics of that are, and he likely can speak to that. But this is the same application, just being updated.
Okay. And I guess since Director Philby Williams is here, I guess the further question would be, if I remember right from when we were doing the tourism tax process, that Gary New Duluth Rec had sought out $600,000 for the construction of this park. If we got $300,000, where would the other $300,000 come from? What are the plans for getting the project actually done?
President Forsman, Councilor Anderson, thank you for the question. The maximum size of this particular grant is $300,000. The city has made clear to our partners at the Gary New Duluth Development Alliance that we do not have that while we are happy to contribute the work of writing and advocating for this state grant, we don't have cash that we're able to offer to the projects at this time. Our partners at the Development Alliance assure us that they can and will provide the full required $300,000 match. Their track record is exceptionally good in following through on their commitments, and we take them at face value.
All right, let's not hold our breaths on this one, but I'll have my fingers crossed. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Anderson. Councillor Owl.
President Forsman. I would like to abstain from item 25, resolution 228, due to conflict of interest as I sit on that executive board.
Okay, duly noted. Thank you, Councillor Al. All right, seeing no other hands up, that is then the end of our resolutions and gets us to ordinances tabled under Councillor Randorf.
Thank you, President Forsman. Item 34, Ordinance 12, an ordinance amending sections 50-19.8, 50-20.3, and 50-41 related to three new land uses, automobile and light vehicle impound lot, car wash, and commercial support services.
Thank you, Councillor Randorf. Councillor Owl, I still have your hand up. Is that from last time? No worries. Vice President Kennedy.
Thank you, President Forsman. I plan to be to motion to remove this from the table. I know there was a question that Mr. Director Fliege had, and he had sent a response to all of the counselors. So unless there's other questions or I find anything else, I plan to remove this from the table. I'll yield.
Thank you for that update, Vice President Kennedy. Okay, now ordinance is to be read for the first time under Councillor Hobbs.
Thank you, President Forsman. Ordinance 2211, an ordinance amending Chapter 6 of the Duluth City Code, updating animal licensing requirements, consolidating chapter definitions, and adding regulations for animal rescue groups and organizations.
Thank you, Councillor Hobbs. Back over to Councillor Randorf.
Thank you, President Forsman. Item 36, an ordinance amending, Ordinance 16, an ordinance amending sections 50-14.7, 50-15.7, and 50-33.6 related to planned developments. Item 37, Ordinance 17, an ordinance amending section 50-20.1.g and 50-41.4 related to cottage home park developments. Item 38, Ordinance 18, is an ordinance granting Superior Street Property LLC a concurrent use permit for a wall within a skywalk at 309 West Superior Street.
Thank you, Councillor Randorf. And we can continue on with ordinances to be read for the second time.
Thank you. Item 39, Ordinance 13. An ordinance repealing and replacing sections 50-18.2 and amending sections 50-36, 50-37.9, 50-37.13, and 50-41 related to Airport Overlay Zone District.
Thank you, Councillor Randorf. Councillor Anderson.
Thank you, President Forsman. And if I may, I actually want to go back to Ordinance 17, the cottage home park developments. I'm just curious. We've had policies on our agendas in the past regarding tiny houses, and I'm curious what's the difference here. This says homes that are between 200 square feet and 1,200 square feet. Why is this called a cottage home park development rather than tiny home development?
President Forsman, Councillor Anderson, I suspect that that is a quirk of the city planning profession, but I will, with that in mind, I will ask Stephen Robertson or Chris Fliege to chime in here on the way that is named.
I can, President Forsman, Councillor Anderson. Yes, we do have staff on tonight as well, but I actually do know the answer to this one. So when we did the tiny homes, we set up the ordinances so they would face the street. And really, this is a little bit different. The idea is that really we can fashion these into more like communities. So it changes some of the language around both the size of the structures, but also kind of the orientation, so that if you wanted to have a central gathering area, it provides for that. So that is really the thrust of this. As we got into the details, we realized it's really not just tiny homes. It's really about this cottage concept. And staff member Stephen is here as well, Stephen Robertson. So Stephen, any other comments that you have?
Yeah, good evening. This is Stephen, the senior planner in the planning office. Mr. Fleet, you did a great job. I will say maybe when it comes to tiny homes, a lot of times there are one-off things, like any tiny home on one R1 lot, whereas the cottage home parks might be 10 or 20 cottage homes all in their own little development with their own private road and their own amenities. So they're very similar things, except we imagine a cottage home park being essentially a collection of tiny homes, for lack of a better word.
All right, that sort of makes sense. It sounds, thank you, Mr. Robertson and Mr. Fleege. It sounds similar to that project that we approved zoning for on Carver and St. Marie some while back.
Councilor Anderson, that's exactly it. And I don't believe the project ever went forward, unfortunately, but it is exactly what it is.
Okay, great. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Anderson. Any other questions on that one or the one Councilor Randorf mentioned? I don't see any. So let me pull back my agenda because the last one is under the Committee of the Whole under my name. Ordinance 15, amending Section 2-42 of the Duluth City Code 1959 as amended relating to assignment of election precincts. Councilor Randorf.
Thank you so much, Council President Forsman. I just want to again thank Mr. Ian Johnson and his staff for seeing those maps. They created new, much easier to read maps for all of us. They arrived in our inbox today. Thank you so much for doing that. Again, once this ordinance, I think we talked about it last time, goes into effect, it'll be 30 days, and then those new boundaries will be serving those different constituent bases, and really happy that we'll be notifying them a few times, not only where their new voting precincts will be, but also who their counselors are and where they can vote and all of that. So again, thank you for all your work, Mr. Johnson, much appreciated.
Thank you, Councilor Randorf, and I would second that. Vice President Kennedy.
Oh, I have two questions. If we go to questions and comments, I'll use.
Okay, so nothing on the ordinance for this one. Okay. Well, I don't see any other questions on the redistricting one, so we will move on to Councilor questions and comments, and I will go back to you, Vice President Kennedy.
Thank you. I have two questions on a couple of community items, and then I do want to make a statement about the African Heritage Commission. My first question is, a little while ago, Mr. Shuckman, somebody had reached out about the mid-street light in Riverside. When that was redone, they did not put that mid-street light at the first Riverside entrance back up. And with the new development of the River West project going to be happening soon, I'm wondering where that was and if we were able to answer that question for the constituent.
President Forsman, Vice President Kennedy, I do not have that information that in front of me at this moment, but I'm happy to check on that and circle back with you.
Thank you. My other question would be around the community response. And I know I had a conversation with HDC and Mr. Shuckman around some language. Can we get a report back on that? Was there any action taken with some of the suggestions?
President Forsman, Vice President Kennedy, I will connect with Chief Roget tomorrow morning about that. We have started the contract with HDC, and they have begun to do the work to implement it and get started on hiring. They are in the process of doing that. They've hired a community coordinator and are continuing to hire up and get the program going. And so I will follow up on your questions about data and reporting and how that is going to be done. But to date, they have not started the full implementation of the city's funding and expanding the program as they work to get the program up and running.
Thank you. President Forsman, if I may take a few minutes to address the African Heritage Commission and the recent report in the DNT.
Please go ahead.
Thank you, councilors. I think it's an important that I address this. And what you should have read in the paper, and I wanted to keep saying, is this is not about me. It's about the commissioners. It's about the resolution that we put forward to be able to make policy changes that impact everyone equitably. The first thing I'd like to do is I'd like to just ground this, why we did it, why we're here, and some of the community conversations. For me as an African heritage woman and all the people who look like me, who I carry on my shoulders, as well as the fact that I am the counselor for the Western Duluth District, we all carry a lot of people on our shoulders. So let's just ground this. This is called a reparative action. And this is something that we use in a lot of our circles with our community partners. And I'll just start with that. When I ask us to pause, I'd like for us all to think about some of our elders, some of our African heritage elders, some of our elders in the community that really pushed to have this African Heritage Commission, and especially the seven commissioners that we put in a position where they felt like they didn't have the support they needed. So this is a call to reparative action. Again, when I say pause or when we pause, think about the folks that were sitting in those seats as commissioners. We acknowledge the historic and current contributions and sacrifices of communities displaced, compromised, oppressed, and traumatized by the colonization of the United States of America. Let us pause to give reverence and honor to the African American people for their sacrifices during slavery and recognize the enduring violence and long-standing inequitable policies and practices that are still relevant today. We seek to give credence to the past and to the present, catalyzing equity, resiliency, wealth, and holistic health to be attainable for everyone. And we'll pause for a minute. So thank you, counselors. And as I stated, that's a grounding statement for not only us, but to remember the sacrifices that the commissioners gave to sit in a seat, one of the most important seats, to try to influence the policies that we know that will make a community that's been left behind better. And that was their goal. I serve as an African American woman on the City Council, and it's an honor. When we created the African Heritage Commission, my two sponsors, which was Councilor Anderson and at that time, I believe, Vice President Vanette, this was a unanimous vote by the council. So it wasn't only my charge, it was all of our charge to make sure that this worked well. It was the city's charge to make sure it worked well. I'm going to pause there and share a letter that I sent to you all because I want to make sure that it's in the public and I want to make sure that our newspapers and folks in the community hear the letter because it's important as well. So this is a letter I shared to all of my counselors. I'm sharing this letter below. There's a letter that I'll read after that was unsolicited by me, to begin the conversation about the article written by Peter Passy regarding the African Heritage Commission. And it states that at Thursday's agenda session, I'll be making this public comment. This is a way to help give more context to the issue that was raised in the paper by Peter Passy. Serving as a city councilor is a privilege and an honor, and it also comes with pitfalls you see that I am currently navigating. As a servant leader in this situation, I am purposefully leading in a way so that the story could be told. The story that should be told is not about me. It's about the commissioners and the experience that they had with the city. As leaders, each one of us has and will be put in a position that the greater good means that sometimes we are the targets. While the outcome in this issue is not the preferred outcome, and it's not my role to negate commissioners' thoughts and feelings, it's my role to listen, give honest and thoughtful counsel that is sometimes not what community members or commissioners want to hear, and that includes the mayor and city staff. And that also includes between each of us as counselors. Becoming the target of misplaced discontent is not what any of us signed up for. It is, however, a part of leading. And if it makes a difference at our community and drives forward breaking down systemic issues for underrepresented people and brings forward a change in culture within city government and builds policies, practices, and procedures that benefit everyone, then I will stand in the fire. This is a commitment I made to my community, our community, and I take it seriously. And I did. I thank you for your support and for serving during this unprecedented time. Again, while I wrote this letter to you, this issue is not about me. This is about these commissioners that gave their time, and again, that we put in a position that they didn't have support. I will read the unsolicited letter, and then I'll have a couple other comments. And just out of respect, I don't know that I'm really wanting to take questions, but if there's comments to support the commissioners, I would love that. And if you have questions for me, I would love for you to give me a call one-on-one. But I feel like after the comments, and I don't want to cut anybody off, that we're going to land this plane and we're going to move forward because there's a plan. So this letter was addressed to Mr. Passy, and many of you may know, I don't read the paper a lot. I get the paper, you know, it's there for me. There are some things that I look up, but I'm sort of that person, like, I don't need to hear, what people are saying about me, because usually it's about me. And even if I was a movie star, I'd be one of those people who wouldn't watch my own movie. So it's nothing against the paper. It's just the way I operate. Because I feel really responsible for things, and especially if I did something improper. And that's just me. So this was from Mr. Gritdahl to Mr. Passy. And it states, much of your article seems to focus on Councillor Kennedy's email as the reason people left the commission. Later in the article, you quote city staff as saying the commissioner's role is to advise city council. The posted description of the commission below includes much more than advising council. Perhaps city staff could have explained in your article how he ensures the commission receives information so that the views of the African heritage community are incorporated in the decision-making, future planning, and stewardship of the city of Duluth. The commission will endeavor to act as a guide in the development of public policy, planning, and services so that the African heritage community is adequately represented in these processes. In my experience, some commissions have a formal role in policy decision processes in City Hall, parks, planning, public arts, trees, charter, etc. Other commissions, often those representing underrepresented citizens' identity banks, have no formal role and often become aware of policy decision after the decisions are made public, and then attempts at guidance risk being adversarial. Perhaps, in fairness to Councillor Kennedy, you could follow up with former commissioners about their understanding of their role is described in the published description, and how the city staff supported or not the promise support purpose of the commission influenced the decision. I will read that one again. Perhaps, in fairness to Councillor Kennedy, you could follow up with former commissioners about their understanding of their role as described in the published description and how the city staff supported or not supported. I entered the supported after not, but to make it sound well or to make it more understanding. Or not supported the promised purpose of the commission influenced their decision to leave. So he adds the description of the city webpage. The purpose of the commission is to ensure that the views of the African heritage community are incorporated in decision-making, future planning, and stewardship of the city of Duluth. The commission will endeavor to act as a guide in the development of the public policy, planning, and the services that the African heritage community is adequately represented in these processes. The commission will also endeavor to increase understanding and acceptance of the African heritage community and culture, and to increase African heritage community involvement in all aspects of community affairs in Duluth. So that's the end of the letter, and that's all contact that I believe we all need, us as counselors, us as city staff, us as community members, and us as the press. I believe it's important that, for me, it was important that I not tell a story that was not my story to tell. There's many, many ingredients in this pot. Not everybody knows the whole story. The whole story is not going to be told. But it's important that some of the story is told and some of the true facts came out. And again, I'm okay with standing in that fire because that's my role. That's my role as a counselor for my Western Duluth District. That's my role as a counselor and a community member for my African heritage community. I want the commissioners to know I heard you and I did my due diligence. So I'm going to pause there and start to let this rain because there is a what is next. We know what was in the paper and what city staff had shared. And I just received an email just today, I believe, the 24th was dated from Alicia Kozlowski, that the city is beginning some virtual workshops. It's called the Maze Workshop. And it's really looking at fostering belonging and promoting the values of fairness and equity on all 34 boards and commissions. So this is an opportunity for us to restart it. I'm ready to move forward. I hope the commissioners are ready to move forward. Counselors, I hope you're ready to move forward. I'm asking the press to move forward. And I know our community is ready to move forward. And I'll yield.
Thank you, Vice President Kennedy. I appreciate you sharing from the heart and will absolutely be there to support commissioners on restarting and re-engaging that process. I'm just pausing to see if Councilor Anderson.
Thank you, President Forsman. Thank you, Vice President Kennedy, for your thoughtful attention to this matter that is, I'm coming at this, to be frank, without the preparation that you have clearly put here. So forgive me if I stumble a little bit, but I just want to acknowledge that, in the letter that Mr. Gritdahl shared, and if it's Bob Robert Gritdahl, Bob has a tremendous history with the city of Duluth as a human rights officer, and worked with the Human Rights Commission for years, and has just so it's clear as Mr. Gritdahl shares that oftentimes commissions that are set up to help elevate and elevate the voices of communities that are marginalized, they don't function very effectively. And in this case, I want to express my gratitude to the commissioners, the African Heritage Commission members who were the founding members of this commission, and perhaps some of them will help. Will be willing to help us as we go forward, so that we can do better. And I believe that we are all better when we are all better. It's the whole Paul Wellstone thing, but we need in our community to have a strong African Heritage Commission for the benefit of us all. For the benefit of us all, we need this commission to be strong and active and effective. And I look forward to continuing to see this through. And thank you for the call to action, Councillor Kennedy, and to the commission, former commission members, for their call to action to this council. And I will yield.
Thank you, Councillor Anderson. Councillor Van Nett.
Thank you, President Forsman. Councillors, I just want to say thank you, Councillor Kennedy, Vice President Kennedy, for that thoughtful work. It's difficult. I served on the Indigenous Commission 20 maybe years ago, before it was the actual Indigenous Commission. It was actually the Indian Commission. And so back then in those days, it was rough. We had a rough time, and all the issues, like getting folks to show up and then fighting with administration about our needs. And I'm telling you, it was not easy for us to do that. And then kind of moving forward and evolving to where we are today, it's taken some time. And now we have a Native person on the Native woman on the council. And so that the work definitely is difficult. And what's harder is that the media plays a really big role in how people see us. And when media doesn't understand what Native people mean, I'll just speak for me, not necessarily the African Heritage community or anybody else, but when media and or other folks don't understand how other Native people speak or other people speak, and they don't get the full length and strength of that story of what they're saying, we don't get published at all because our stories aren't important, and or nobody wants to buy that paper because you're talking about an Indian person kind of thing. And so it's really real to have these kind of conversations. I won't even call it education. I just would call it conversations, because people need to learn to understand each other. And if we're going to share a story about a people that is different from you, it's got to be understood, because we're all in this community and we're all in this together. That kind of whole thing that Councillor Anderson said, that we all do better when we all do better, that's real. That's a real thing, and I've lived it with the early years of the commission work, and understand the strength of everything we do, but yet the hardship of getting there. I just want to share that outward, and the places that we got here today with City Hall, with media, with each other's understanding, different biases we all have, but how we get around that and work through those things is having these hard conversations and creating space for clarity and each one's of us different story, to make sure we understand each other and the public understands us and we understand them. And so it's very, very important. And just wanted to share a bit about that evolving and how things turn and the amount of work communities of color have to do to just actually exist here. So saying that all respectfully as we move forward, thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Van Nett. And Councillor Anderson, I see your hands back up.
Yeah, thank you, President Forsman. Just to point out to councillors, if you missed the email from Alicia Kozlowski about the AMAZE workshops, there are three workshops. One takes place this coming Monday. It does conflict with our council meeting and our committee of the whole. I forget, we're on the natural plans, park plans. But I went ahead and registered, and I will. And if you can't attend the workshops directly, you can access the videos. The other two are on Monday nights when we do not have meetings. So, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Anderson. Yep, I registered today as well. Councillor Tamani.
Thank you, President Forsman. I don't have anything to add, which is unusual for me, but I do want to offer my thanks. As a member of the white majority, these are words and thoughts that I need to hear. And I appreciate that being brought forth to the council very, very much. So thank you to Vice President Kennedy and former President Annette. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Councillor Timonic. And I would just add, Vice President Kennedy, I know you put your heart and soul into that commission, and it was for no lack of trying. And looking forward to doing anything I can to help on two here. All right. I'm not seeing any other hands up. So I think that takes us to the end of the night. Thank you, counselors, for being here. I will see you on Monday night for what is very possibly, hopefully, the last time on WebEx, at least for counselors. Take care.
Thank you. Good night.